social distancing fatigue after months of lockdowns and strict rules. Some young adults in Europe have had enough.
It's been like almost six months of this pandemic, and people, and especially young people, seem to be growing tired of the measures, right?
We'll go to Germany to talk about why cases are rising among the young. Plus, the East Coast deals with a pandemic and now a significant storm. We'll update you on the track of Isaias. And these days, we're drinking more coffee at home, not at the cafe, and that's hitting the market for coffee beans.
It's just an example of one of the many ways that the pandemic has really changed financial markets and is having effects that you might not have been able to predict earlier in the year.
It's Thursday, August 4th. I'm Mark Stewart with the Wall Street Journal, and this is What's News. The sound of heavy rain and strong wind as Tropical Storm Isaias slammed the Carolinas. The storm is now heading up the East Coast. The U.S. saw its smallest daily increase in new coronavirus cases in almost a month. More than 47,000 cases were reported. Yet there is an increase in new infections in some states in the Northeast and Midwest. High-level talks are expected to resume today as lawmakers struggle to agree on a new aid package to help Americans hit hard by the pandemic. There's debate over the weekly unemployment supplement and funds for state and local governments. President Trump told reporters he's considering executive action to prevent evictions or even suspend payroll tax collection. Today's primary in Kansas could determine which party has control of the Senate. The race is tight, and some Republicans worry that if Kris Kobach wins the party's nomination, Democrats could have a shot at taking the seat in November. Some in the GOP take issue with his views on immigration. Others focus on his poor campaign and fundraising performance in the past. Kobach says he can win the race. Kansas last elected a Democratic senator in 1932. Coming up, coffee is a big staple in many of our morning routines, but the pandemic has changed consumption. We'll look at how our new drinking habits are rocking commodity markets. Up next. Oil has had a famously bad year, and we've talked a lot about why. But there's another commodity that's taking a big hit in the pandemic. You might be drinking it right now. I just finished a cup. We're talking about the drop in Arabica coffee beans. Our markets columnist Mike Bird explains the connections among lockdowns, our changing coffee habits, and the global commodities market.
So coffee isn't a commodity market that we talk about very often, but it's just an example of how much the pandemic has changed demand for different types of things. One of the ways of showing that is that Arabica coffee beans, which are more popular in restaurants and cafes, the price of those beans has dropped quite severely this year. It's one of the worst performing commodity classes, while Robusta coffee beans, the variety that you might find at home, roughly flat for the year. And that's largely because people are drinking less coffee out of the home in those restaurants and cafes, drinking the same amount at home. It's also complicated by the fact that coffee producers expect there to be a record harvest next year. It's just an example of one of the many ways that the pandemic has really changed financial markets and is having effects that you might not have been able to predict earlier in the year.
Just ahead, after some success in controlling the coronavirus, Europe is facing a new challenge, keeping antsy young people apart, after the break. For months, Europe was under a lockdown during the pandemic. Borders were closed, people stayed home, and the number of coronavirus cases plummeted. Now restrictions are lifting, and in some places, cases are rising, especially among young adults. The Wall Street Journal's Bojan Panchevski is covering the story from Berlin. Hey there, Bojan.
Hi there, hello.
And Bojan, we're seeing a rise in cases in Europe, especially among young people. Why is this happening?
Yeah, well, you see, Mark, it's been like almost six months of this pandemic, and people, and especially young people, seem to be growing tired of the measures, right? I mean, they know what the measures are. I think at some point, all of them have respected the measures as much as they could, but now you see a sort of a widespread fatigue with the restrictions, and people, you know, are just kind of eager to get on with things. What happens here in Berlin is, in fact, in a park where, you know, around the corner from where I live, you pretty much have almost every night a illegal sort of mass party of, you know, ranging from dozens to hundreds of young people in their teens or in their early 20s who kind of congregate with kind of music. You know, they have this internet speakers and they play their own music and they bring their own booze and some of them bring their own drugs. And they just have these parties because the clubs are closed. And Berlin is famous for its club scene. You know, it's one of the sort of landmarks of the city, really. It's one of the tourist attractions of the German capital, the nightlife. And, you know, it's all shut down. It's been shut down since March. And I guess young people have found a way to kind of circumvent that. And that's also true of other cities in Germany. You know, you have more or less sort of clandestine parties. Some of them are not that clandestine. They take place, you know, in Frankfurt a couple of weeks ago, there was a sort of big impromptu party in a central square, and to the point where the police had to intervene and there was some sort of altercation. People were throwing bottles at the police and so on.
So we have parties taking place. We also have travel opening up across the EU. People can move once again. Is that also playing a role?
Well, yes. Authorities have said, medical authorities in several countries, including Germany, have said that the reopening of the borders on the continent and the starting of the tourist season has played a role in the rise of the number of cases and the spread of the infection. Essentially, quite a few of the small outbreaks in Germany now are said by the authorities to be due to people coming back from tourist hotspots such as Spain and bringing the virus with them and then infecting their communities. So definitely that has been a factor. I mean, if you look at Greece and Croatia and Spain, three countries that have major tourism industries, all of them had a very low level of infection until, you know, July when tourism kind of restarted. And now all of them are reporting an uptick in figures to various degrees. Greece has a smaller uptick, but Spain has a huge uptick. And Croatia was down to zero before the tourist season started. And now they also are struggling with a resurgence of the infection.
Boyan, in the U.S., we have seen several openings of businesses rolled back. You mentioned in Germany, nightclubs have been ordered to remain closed. What more can the EU do to try to control this, especially among young people?
Well, it's getting very difficult. I mean, basically, the British government early on had some sort of studies from behavioral scientists saying that there's only a sort of a limited window of opportunity to make people follow these rules and these restrictions because they're very intrusive in people's lives. And young people sort of feel they're not really affected by this. So governments are trying to appeal to their sense of solidarity. I mean, they're trying to sort of institute mandatory masking orders for the public transport, for certain public areas. They're trying different measures to mitigate the effect of this. But there is a big debate here in Germany and in other countries as well about, you know, what to do when society just sort of turns against the measures. And that seems to be happening to a certain degree in a certain demographic, but also across the board, perhaps. So I think governments are quite concerned, and they don't really, you know, there's only so many measures they can take in a democratic society to sort of make people follow these rules.
Boyan Penchevsky joining us from Berlin. Boyan, good to see you.
Great to talk to you again.
And finally, a lot of us are finding that the fitness and diet routine we set up a few months ago is getting harder to stick to as the pandemic draws on. And no judgment, I devoured this raisin pastry nearly the size of the plate yesterday. It was worth it. Maybe you're more disciplined than me, but just in case you're in need of some tips for getting back on track, we talked to fitness pros on how they're dealing with our unusual times. Among the tips, make your regular meals more of an event. Set a time, break out the nice glasses. That'll keep you from backsliding into unhealthy eating. Also, experiment with shorter workouts, which are easier to fit into our unpredictable days. More tips in our piece on WSJ.com. And that's what's news for Tuesday. We'll be back tonight with a new episode. If you like the show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.